Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Human Rights Demand. We want to thank you for joining us today on Human Rights Demand. This is the Leona Brando Show, and we so much appreciate you joining us on the air. We had a list of callers listed, and I hope that many of them will call back. Leona Brando, are you available?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us on Blog Talk Radio, Human Rights Demand. And I'm going to turn the show over to you right now. There were a list of callers on the air, and I had trouble getting on the air. And so I don't see the list right now. If you would like to, you can put hang up and call your guest. Let them know that we are on the air now, and I can keep your listeners entertained while you do that. Leona Brando?
Yes.
I was saying to you that if you'd like to, you could
I'm trying to call them on my other phone now. I don't know why I have this radio station anyway.
I'm sorry?
I'm calling on my other phone to try to get the guest.
Okay, all right. Well, you let me know when you're ready. I want to welcome the guest today to Human Rights Demand. Thank you for joining us here on Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, wait, we're on the air now.
We are here to talk about human rights issues every day at 3 o'clock p.m. And we
She's
so
on
much
the air
appreciate
now. She had problems getting in. Can you call back in again?
Okay, we so much appreciate your interest in human rights issues. This is the Leona Brando Show. Leona Brando is a human rights advocate, particularly regarding prisoner issues. And we really appreciate Leona Brando bringing her audience here to Human Rights Demand. We make a human rights demand because we believe what Frederick Douglass said. He said, power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has, and it never will. So we make a demand for human rights for prisoners. We make a demand for human rights for Native Americans on Wednesdays. We make a demand for justice in courts. We make a demand for everybody. We care about everybody having their human rights respected. And we make a human rights demand that all people be treated equally. Leona Brando, are you available to speak now?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I'll go ahead and turn it over to you. Everyone, this is Leona Brando. I want you to introduce yourself to the radio audience and go ahead and tell us anything that you would like for us to know. You do have callers on deck, and I appreciate all the callers. We want to invite you to call in. The telephone number is 347-857-3293. Again, the telephone number for you to call here is 347-857-3293. If you call in, you will be free to speak on air. So thank you, Ms. Leona Brando, for calling in here at Human Rights Demand and hosting a radio show with us. 2866, do you have something to say? 2886, I'm sorry. Did you need to say something? 2886.
Not at this moment right now. This is Marshallow.
Hello, so, how are you today?
I'm blessed. I'm doing fine, sister. How are you doing?
I'm praising God. Okay.
Yes, I'm here. I'm here as one of the guests from the Yahweh's Holy Angels for Freedom. So where I'm sitting back waiting.
Well, thank you for calling in, and we're going to come back to you and let you speak on air, okay?
Yes, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. God bless you, and thank you for calling in today. All right, then, Ms. Brando, go right ahead with your show.
Okay, my name is Leona Brando. I am the founder of New Vision Organization, recently stepped down as president CEO of the organization. I am going to be doing the radio talk shows on the human rights issues, and on other in other areas as well. One of the things that we have a lot of things going on around us today are a lot of prisoners who have been brutally murdered through scaldings and bakings and seizures and everything else. So my focus now is going to be outside the organization now, is going to be more on advocating for those in the prisons who are currently going through those types of abuses, deprivations, provocations, you know, medical, psychological neglect in other areas. I have also invited Sister Sophia Yahweh on the line with the on the radio show with us today because they have a message to bring, not only a message to bring from a spiritual creator, but also some of the work that they do in their ministry. And I'm going to have Sister Yahweh speak a little bit about the Angels of Freedom Prison Ministry, which was established in 2011. And I'd like to hear some things on that and also a little bit about exactly what they do. I know I'm seeing in reading her information that she had previously sent to me some of the things that they do, which is really, really great, and I'd like to have her speak more of it. Also, Sister Yahweh, if you can, at some point towards the end, give your contact information, your website information, and any other information you may want to share with the audience. So we have Sister Sophia Yahweh on the radio show with us today, and she has also brought a guest who we are anxiously awaiting to listen to as well. Sister Yahweh?
Hi, this is Human Rights Demand. It looks like Leona Brando's call dropped.
Okay.
Hello, Leona.
Okay,
Brando?
Can you hear me?
Leona Brando? Listen, I'm sorry they dropped your call. You just have to call back in when they do that.
Tried a couple of times, but I can't get through.
What do they say when you call back in? Okay, I'm in the Quantero is attacking Human Rights Demand, everybody. They won't let Leona Brando call back.
Listen,
please let Leona Brando call back in. NSA, Quantero, Cochran Burn Cyberstalkers, or whoever you are, please let Leona Brando call back in to this radio station. Thank you. Leona, try to call back in. Thank you. All right. I want to go on and let 5506 speak. Seven three five nine. 2886.
Yes.
All of you are live on air. Please cut down your background noise and go ahead and speak. Leona Brando, I went ahead and opened all your stations. I asked the people to please cut down their background noise, and you can go ahead like it's a panel discussion. We have 5506-7359-2886. All of these are people who called in to speak today. And I just have everybody's line open. We are having COINTELPRO interference. NSA doesn't want black people particularly to speak about the issues that affect us. So we're sick of that. And I open everybody's line, so please cut down on your background noise and go ahead and have your say. Leona Brando is your host today. If she gets cut off, each one of you go ahead and talk like you're talking on your living room couch.
and may we ask your name? Are you Miss Mary Neal?
Yes, my name is Mary Neal.
Oh, okay. I heard so much about you, and the many wonderful works that you're doing. Wanna definitely congratulate you for all of the work that you're doing here in the Atlanta metropolitan area and all around the world. It's a pleasure to meet you as well.
It's a pleasure to meet you, and I appreciate your warm welcome to me. I really do appreciate it. We have been going through hell. And the thing is that these people don't want us to talk about what we're going through. These people, they don't want to be in my life story. They should have butted out of it. So, you know, the situation is that we are in a pickle of a mess, okay?
Yeah.
And the people don't even want us to talk about it. But we will talk about it.
Oh,
we will
okay. Are you on there now?
People will know what we're dealing with worldwide. I must ask everybody to please turn your cell phones off, cut down on your outside noise. The number to call here is 347-857-3293. I want to invite all of you to come to Human Rights for Prisoners March tonight at 9 p.m. Pacific time. That's 10 p.m. Mountain time, 11 p.m. Central time, and 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Eastern Daylight Time. And so please join us on Human Rights for Prisoners March at midnight Eastern Time tonight. Tell your friends and family that we need to talk about some things because things are getting really bad. And we are not supposed to talk about it, but we will discuss it because discussing things is our right under the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, which they have included blacks in, okay, and also under Declaration of Human Rights that the United States has joined because it is a member nation. So therefore, I have two documents that give me the right to freedom of expression, and I will use my freedom of expression. COINTELPRO, NSA, Cyber Stalkers for the Cochran Firm, or whoever you are, don't be messing with me anymore. Okay, go ahead, Ms. Brando. You have three callers, and I'm going to step away from the computer for a month. I'm sick of these people.
Okay, Sister Neil, I really don't know where I left off before I got cut off. I was introducing Sister Yahweh and also the others. What I was letting everyone know is that as founder of New Vision Organization Inc., I have recently retired. I'm going to be doing the radio talk shows and with the help of Mary Neil. And there's so much that we do need to get out because there's a lot going on, not only in this country, but also in this world. And I'm sure the sisters know this because they have their own organization, and I'm sure they know of all the prisoners who are incarcerated in the United States, mainly prisoners of color, and all the things that are going on at the same time. So, again, I wanted to introduce Sister Sophia Yahweh, who is the founder of the Angels of Freedom Prison Ministry, which was established in 2011. And I would like to have her speak about all the good things that they've been doing, and also if they can also leave their contact information at the end of the show or during their conversation so that everyone will know how to get in contact with them, what they can do to help. And I notice you have a membership fee, which you can also discuss. And so I will hand it over now to Sister Yahweh and to her sisters and brothers or whoever it is that is also going to be on with us. Sister Yahweh, would you like to proceed?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I want to just say that it is an honor and truly my pleasure to be here at this forum. I appreciate your passion, your fire for the wrong that is going on in our prison system today. Before I begin, I personally would like to give all honor, glory, and high praises to the Creator.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
And I want to just acknowledge that the Creator, Yahweh, in which I come in His name, He is my Father. He is the Heavenly Father. And so thus the name of our organization. We represent Yahweh to its fullest extent in name, in action, in everything that we do. And so Yahweh's holy angels for freedom. You know, our name says it all. We stand for freedom. See, freedom from being behind the brick and the mortar, and free from the mental shackles that is on the mind of the people that are walking in darkness. And so this particular forum and this dialogue that we're having today is a wonderful one because it allows us to express our concerns. It allows us to come together in holy unification under a common cause to affect change. And so I'm so excited to be here. As you stated, my name is Abiya, A-B-I-Y-A-H, Abiya Yahweh. And I am the executive director of Yahweh's Holy Angels for Freedom Prison Ministry. And as you stated, our organization is a fairly new organization, but our work, our labor of love, have been well over 30 years. This particular ministry was established back in March the 12th, 2011. And, you know, just the thought of the prison ministry is to, you know, manifest the ideas of goodness, the ideas of being on the side of right, because we live in a world where there is nothing but wickedness. As Miss Mary Neal expressed, there are wicked forces that are seeking to interfere in any way, shape, or form that they can see fit so that this information, this knowledge, see, because we understand clearly that knowledge is power. And so this organization was formed for us to be about our Father's business. And so we're very, very, very excited to be here to form alliances and to collaborate with other minds, with other organizations, with other people who want to make a difference in this criminal justice system and the wickedness that goes on in the hierarchy of those places. And so the points and things that you guys bring forth, we are right there with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. We have a, we have an awful lot of advocates out there in the world today who are, as, and I've mentioned this before, claiming to be advocates and doing just the opposite, as it says in the Bible with the scribes and the Pharisees, doing one thing and saying another. So it's almost like we're not only dealing with Satan and his and the followers, we're dealing with the followers here and in this earth. But my whole thing is, I'm the type of person, I'm an honest person. I hate hypocrisy. I hate falsehood. And I pick up on it a lot in working with advocates throughout the country. But the one thing that people focus on nowadays is the deaths of these prisoners. And it shouldn't be focusing on the death of these prisoners. It should be focusing on preventing the death of these prisoners. And we have a lot of people out there who are focused more or less on those who are already dead, which I can see doing that, but at the same time, it wouldn't have happened in the first place if we had people that were out there advocating to stop it before it happens. And this is my whole thing. But again, with what you do, I think it's great. I notice you have the preaching work, you have the pen pals, you know, giving hope to the hopeless and giving a voice to the voiceless. What brought you to this point, Sister Yahweh?
Well, I want to just say that our mission can be found in the good book at Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. And that is our base. That is our foundation, because the Spirit of the Lord, Yahweh, is upon me. We take it personally, you see. We take it literally that it is upon me, because he has appointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. And he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. There are so many of our brothers, our sisters. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. There are so many of our brothers, our sisters, our family members who are brokenhearted. They're brokenhearted because they're behind the brick and mortar. They can't see their way. They can't see the light. And I have been anointed to proclaim liberty to them, to open the prison to them that is bound. And that's what we do here at the Holy Angels for Freedom Prison Ministry. You know, our objective as an organization, and we are an international organization, we have chapters all around the United States and abroad. We have chapters in Cape Town, South Africa, as well as Haiti and the Bahamas, and forever growing, because, you know, we are here to minister to those that are experiencing physical bondage and those wearing spiritual shackles. See, because we understand that once we're able to understand what the spiritual aspect is of things, then the physical bondage, you know, even if you're in prison, you're free. You're St. John 8:32. You're free indeed, because your mind is free. And so that's what we have been established to do. Right now, we currently have over 9,000 pen pals worldwide. We have transition and training resources, which I will bring in our our administrative assistant in just a second to speak on the transitional and training resources that we have. But most importantly, what we have is that we're building a network to support family and friends, because when someone is incarcerated, they're not incarcerated by themselves. Their family, their friend, everybody is incarcerated. They're doing that bid with them. And so, you know, we're here bringing a twofold. We work with them behind the brick and mortar, and we walk with those who are in darkness. So I think
what happens is most advocates or groups or organizations or foundations or ministries, I think a lot of times they start out because there is a family member that's incarcerated. And sometimes what happens is the system doesn't respect the family members or the friends of prisoners, but yet when you have a foundation, there's more respect for it. There's more respect, getting that respect from those people who would normally ignore you as a loved one. And people forget, too, that a lot of times people do forget that David and that Moses and that Paul were all murderers, and God used them in a big way.
Yes.
People forget those things. And that's why I say a lot of times, if you're not a family member and you don't know what they go through, I don't see how anybody can be an advocate. And that's why we have a lot of people that claim to be advocates, but petty things bother them, and they can't deal with the constructive criticism, or they can't deal with, you know, people trying to explain to them. For instance, there was a woman that's been sending emails around to prison advocates. And I sent her an email saying it's not prison advocates because we don't advocate for the prisons. We advocate for the prisoners. And out of spite, she sent the thing around again, and again she sent it to prison advocates. So it's almost like she's figuring it's a slap in the face because she's not paying attention to what I'm saying, which I don't care because, as you say, it's not about them. It's about God. It's about what God wants. God is a hearer of prayers, and he's a reader of hearts. So no matter what they put in there, whatever they want to put in there, he knows the hearts of all men. Again, I think it's great. What I wanted to ask you, Sister Yahweh, is are you familiar with the Women of Hope Prison Ministries?
I am not. I haven't had the pleasure of making their acquaintance, but I want to just...
The reason I ask is because they are also global. They have the sisters and brothers all over the world. They do the same thing and more. Okay. They have their prison ministries. They have their regular preaching work that they do. They have the elders. They have the sisters all over the world. And the reason I say this is because I actually, and many times I actually was in contact with Sister Anita. I can't think of her last name now. I got so many things going on. But anyway, you mentioned that you really want to network with people, and I think that organization or that foundation or ministry might be a good way to connect, because you all seem to have the same goals in mind, and the networking I think would be very beneficial for not only for both your ministries but also for us.
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to, and I appreciate that. You know, we are definitely looking forward, like I said, to form alliances and collaborate with other ministries, other organizations, other minds who, you know, stand on the side of right. But I wanted to just touch a little bit on what you said about those that you mentioned in our good book. And why it is that, you say they were murderers, but what happened is that the Creator, he believes in redemption. See, and that's what happened in the prison system. They don't believe in redemption. And so that's contrary to what Yahweh is about. He forgave. See, he said forgive your debts as those who forget, you know, trespass against you. So if they make an error in judgment and mistake and they end them up in prison, they have the right under the Creator to be redeemed, okay? And so that's why Moses was redeemed. That's why Paul was redeemed. That's why all of those that went to prison, even, see, they were murderers, but there were some in our book that went to prison. So, you know, it's I just wanted to touch on that with you. At this time, you know, if you don't mind, Leona, I want to go ahead and see if we can't bring in our administrative assistant. Her name is Serena Washington. She is the director of our From Jail to Business Owner. And this is a program that we started some 3 years ago, and we're very successful in this program because we find that a lot who are released from prison, they have a difficult time transitioning back into society. They have to hold their heads down and ask somebody for a job. So through our ministry, we were blessed to create an idea whose time has come as it pertained to From Jail to Business Owner. We share in entrepreneurial skills while they're still incarcerated, helping them figure out what their passion is and developing that into a business. Is it okay that I bring her in now? Leona, are you there?
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. They dropped Leona off the air. I put her back on. We have all of this COINTELPRO interference. I apologize for COINTELPRO. I apologize for COINTELPRO. I have asked them to stop doing it. I have asked them to stop doing this. Okay? I apologize for COINTELPRO. I apologize for NSA. And there's a petition online to cut off the water to NSA. They're out there in Utah in the desert. Don't want black people to talk about our issues. Don't want prisoners, whatever race they are, to be able to discuss prisoner interests, even though this is a human right. This is an American right to be able to discuss whatever issues we want to. But Leona Brando off the air. So you know that I know that you must be having very interesting conversations. You must be having conversations that are very important to uplifting people for them to be interfering in this manner. So go right ahead and have your say, sister.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Serena, are you there, beautiful? Yahweh, come on in and discuss the from jail to business owner and your passion for Yahweh's holy angels for freedom, prison.
Well, yes, Queen, I'm here, and I want to say thank you to everyone that put this show together because we need more shows like this because we have so many issues going on in our community that's not being addressed. And I just want to say that I am actually a survivor of what you guys are talking about, not only just from jail to business owner, as being a sister of an incarcerated brother, but I'm also a survivor of your COINTELPRO programs, and also I also won a civil rights case also. So I just want to say that I know what it's like to be trying to push programs like this and to be blocked and to be stopped at the same time. And so to be working out of the pureness of your heart and to also have other workers claiming to be working and doing what you're doing, but they're doing the total opposite. And I want to start off by just letting everybody on the show know that when you are worth more in jail than you are home, it becomes a problem because we have so many people that's coming home, and when they come home, they already have a number and a time for them to come back. So the Y vision is actually created by our Father Yahweh in heaven.
It's Amen.
From transitioning from jail to business owner, not only business-minded, but also spiritually-minded, because in order to beat the enemy that we are going against today, you have to have a renewed mind. And so as a servant of Yahweh and as the director of Y Vision, my whole goal and purpose is to enlighten our brothers and sisters and the family when they come home of all the temptations, all the scams. I don't know if you can go on, but they have so many programs that's out today to hinder us and our nation from sticking together, where they're stopping you from owning your own business and pretty much you can call it copping out to their system. And so it's kind of like a COINTELPRO system, but today I want to talk the Y vision. And the Y vision is to speak to our brothers and sisters on a call every Sunday to let them know what they can do when they are released from prison. Just simple steps of owning your own business, walking into the world, into the hands of Yahweh dedicated service that's going to make sure that you reach the goals that you're supposed to reach. And that's by giving you the tools to become successful, not just telling you that you're going to become successful, but giving it to you and standing side by side with you as you do it. So the principles that we we lay out is spiritual mindedness and also business mindedness, because you're not going to make it today if you're planning to come home and work for companies that has already sold their shares in their company over to InfoGuard and other government programs and FBI programs. That is not meant for you to make it, but it's a bunch of mind games. But the Yahweh vision is created for you to become an entrepreneur. And that's to begin to network, just like the show is doing today, by allowing Holy Angels of Freedom Prison Ministry on, so that you can spread the word that we have servants that's in the world today that's dedicating themselves to making sure that our brothers and sisters don't enter back into the prison system.
Yes, yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I just might add that we are very, very successful at this, because there are many of our brothers and sisters that are so, so talented. I mean, they have literary works. They have artistic works. They're making pocketbooks, jewelry. And what a better way to utilize the skills and talents they have to create a business. Additionally,
I would like to ask more about what you do, or what, I mean, I know you mentioned some of these things, and I know the prisoners are very talented, because I have a loved one inside, and these are my whole thing is my loved ones, he got a life without for a first offense. But I'd like to know. I know they have these men and women out there in the penal system. They have a lot of gifts, a lot of talents. But you mentioned the entrepreneur. You mentioned all these things that will be available to them when they come out. What I'd like to know is how do you do these things? I mean, do you start while they're inside? How do you do it? Do you do the research? Do you have the network? You know, if you can just explain a little bit about that, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, let me go first, Serena, then I'll bring you back in, and you can speak about the publishing and everything that we have
yeah.
in place. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So basically, as I spoke before, we have about 9,000 or more pen pals. Our objective when we communicate with our pen pals is, yeah, to see how they're doing and, you know, give them a word of encouragement and things of that nature. But more especially, when we pen pal with our family and friends that are incarcerated, we want to know, we're asking specific questions. We want to know, what are your skills? What are your talents? What are the things that you aspire to do? Now, when we, as our angel network, we have three levels of holy angels, spiritual angels, guardian angels, and archangels. Our guardian angels are the ones that more specifically communicate with our pen pals, because they're able to build a rapport with them. And as we're building a rapport with them, we're learning. And we're finding out, and we're seeking, and we're asking these questions so that we can get a feel for how is best that we can help them through our wide vision. And so we asked questions. We were able to send them different books on businesses, if they want a lawn care business, if they aspire to, you know, have a detailing, car detail business, if they aspire to, you know, if they have talents where they actually sing or whatever it is that they have. Once we realize that, then we put them into Yahweh's vision. And as our beautiful queen stated, why vision is training and transition. So one of the arms of training is to train them up in whatever it is that they aspire to do. And the transition part is for them to be able to transition into safe, clean housing and so forth. But Queen Serena, can you come on back in and express to the listening audience about YVision, about our publishing company and what we do and how we do that, please?
Well, I want to come in and just explain that it's the vision and the agenda. And we want you to understand that we have nothing to lose by anyone that come into these classes. What I have found out is that people join these kind of training courses when the next step is only up. Because they have trained themselves fighting in a physical realm is what YVision is trying to get everyone to stop doing, fighting it physically, wearing ourselves out, thinking with a normal mindset. We are in a time where victory has already been given to us through the cross. Our vision is to help create godly households and empower you to keep it that way. The first step of YVision is creating success, a reoccurring income. We use your personal vision book to explain your position in your community. And what we have to understand is where we're going at today in 2014 is we're being elected to govern our own home, because we see that our advocates and everybody that's supposed to be speaking up for us is really not working for us. So we counsel you and your family on the house and the household vision, and that's to bring all of the children, the sisters, the brothers, the wife, the husband. We sit down and we create an analysis for the family of how to bring in a reoccurring income. Not only that, we know that through writing, you heal. And so the parent that just was released to get to understand, have a sense of how the family members that was not incarcerated felt why they was in there, so they begin to bond. It's all about being able to bond in their household and them not feeling like they're outcasts in the household, because you have to understand transitioning, you coming back home to your family members that you probably haven't even talked to for 3, 4, 5, 6 years, depending on how long you've been in prison. So that is our main focus, is to rebuild family relationships. Okay? And we want, and the new authors, we want them to know that they'll be owning their own business and they'll be using their experience to the world.
Now, can I ask you, how many incarcerated do you actually think are going to be or are coming home?
Oh my God!
Because in the 18 years I've been advocating, and the 10 years that I founded New Vision Organization, one of the things I found was most of the prisoners that we dealt with of color are serving life without parole sentences, are on death row, or are in for many, many years, where others that we've advocated for, the majority, are looking for aftercare, supportive aftercare resources, i.e. transitional housing, halfway houses, health care, employment, you know, counseling, higher education, all these things. So what population are we talking about now with those that you have experience with or plan to have experience with are actually going to be coming out?
Well, pretty much the population that we're focusing on is all colors, but we want our culture to understand that it's already a plot for them to return back. And so low income is really the mark that we're hitting for. We're making sure that when they come home to this low income, they don't be able to be tempted back into the way that they went to jail, because that's the way the system and society have it set up for them. Just like they're doing your show with COINTELPRO, they do them the same thing. I'm a witness of it. I saw it with my own eyes. So the same thing they do to block you from warning and enlightening people, you have to understand that they have been paid to lock us up. So when you become more valuable in prison than at home, that's when it's time for us to stand up and begin to advocate at these prison systems, advocate with like Holy Angels of Freedom Prison Ministry, like your radio show today, so that the numbers that we are looking to bring in, we can have a count and we can have people set up in different areas, different states, different countries, just globally going through with this movement. Because until we I'm actually an advocate, just like you, a system where they're using all kind of illegal devices and all different kind of stuff to incarcerate our people. So if we don't have more individuals like us standing up and talking about these situations, they're just going to go right back to jail, no matter if you have someone standing out there waiting on them. And so just like you said, you have to hit it from the root. So Holy Angels of Freedom Prison Ministry, Wide Vision, is looking for whatever number, whatever culture. It really don't matter. We're just trying to save society. But most of all, we want to take care of it from the root of the matter.
And if I could also, interject, you know, in our short tenure here as a nonprofit organization, we've actually, I would say, brought home about two or three, if you want to just get a number, as far as working these programs. Now, the recidivism, as we speak, as my queen speak about the traps and the different things that they have set for us, the recidivism rate is in place for when they do exit and they can't find themselves. The world is moving so fast. It's not like it used to be before they were incarcerated. You know, some are coming out, they never even heard of the internet. They don't even know what a smartphone is. They don't know what Facebook is and all of those types of things. So it is really a culture shock. And if we don't prepare them, their minds, to be able to absorb what's going on, they will be turning around and going back because that's where they're most comfortable at. But what I want to do right now, if I can, I would like to bring in my executive assistant because she's going to talk about a particular subject matter that you just hit on as far as, juveniles who have been sentenced to life without parole.
That's recently changed.
Well, in certain states, I know like New York, the state of New York, and the state of North Carolina are the only two states that prosecute 16 and 17-year-olds for any crime as adults, okay? And so we do a judicial roundtable in which we bring special guests on and speak about that. And we had a guest on our judicial roundtable last month. Wonderful Yahweh, are you there? Can you come on in and speak to the listening audience about the juveniles who we've experienced in our ministry?
That's all changed, though. All the juveniles are coming home. I mean, New York is one of them. So they just passed that bill. So the juveniles cannot get sentenced anymore to life without parole.
Now, did they retroactive the ones that are there already?
They got them all coming out. There's a woman in New York at this point in time who is anxiously awaiting for the return of her son. He's being released as well.
Okay.
This is Queen Ma Shalom. I'm the host of our beautiful show that we have, Yahweh's Holy Angel. Give you a little background of me as well. I obtained a bachelor's degree in criminology. Yes, they just passed that law in New York, but North Carolina is still sitting out there. They have not passed that law in North Carolina. Not all states have actually reactivated in all states as we speak. And the young lady, son, that you're speaking of, you're speaking probably about Santiago. Yes, and we are working and waiting for them to give us the time when he would be coming. But just because they reactivated that law doesn't mean they're going to come out tomorrow. Okay, and this is what we have to.
What's happening right now, Sister Neil can confirm this. What's happening right now is in the United States, they're getting a lot of flack from other countries. We are in the United States have the highest rates of incarcerations. We have the highest rates of human rights violations. So right now, they're looking at releasing anyone that committed a crime as a teenager, as a juvenile, and releasing them. And it may not have happened yet in North Carolina or any of those, but it's going to happen. That's a sure thing. And unfortunately, it shouldn't just be with the adolescents, as I said before, because most of these people incarcerated even as adults right now went in when they were adolescents. So if this government is going to look at any of them, they should look at all of them, because a lot of them have went in when they were 16 and they're in their 60s now. There's prisoners who are terminally ill. There's prisoners who are in wheelchairs. They're with no legs, no arms, and they still are not letting them out. And that's kind of like...
I'm going to say this, and let's keep it real. It's a business, okay? And we all know it's a big business out there.
It is.
We also know that slavery has never been abolished. It just camouflaged it. So this is an issue that the United States has been dealing with for a very long time. And what do you expect when you got coming over here making the rules and the regulations?
Exactly.
So, you know, this is nothing new. But the thing that we're at now is, yeah, you made a key point that the world is looking at this. But don't get it twisted. This is happening all around the world. This is global. Slave trade just didn't happen in the United States. Slave trade went through the globe. These mindsets just didn't happen in one spot. It went around, and then the atmosphere spread it like a virus. But here in America, it's a big business, a very large business. But it's just our business just shown and known to. That business that we're doing right here in America is no different than what they're doing in South Africa.
What? We have a president that's standing in front of international media saying that they will not, we do not tolerate tortures and abuses in America and abroad, and yet it's happening right here in their own country. So it's happening all over.
That's what you call someone speaking with a double forked tongue, Queen. And we've been dealing with that for the longest. The words that they speak and their actions are two different things.
Exactly.
The average country that you go into, whether it be here, whether it be in Africa, whether it be in Brazil, they all gonna speak that when it comes down to their business for its profit. Don't you know they make big money holding prisons? And now they got the prison system filled with the adults now. Okay, and this is why they pushed at that time, taking our youth at a very young age, because of privatized prison systems, okay? And then when they signed these bills for privatized systems and they wasn't able to really fulfill it, the privatized organizations, the people behind it, went to the Supreme Court and sued them. But they said, okay, well, we got all the old heads up here. We keep the money counting down. They started grabbing our youth, okay?
Yeah.
But this is why it has to take people like you and I and the next person. We have to get up and we have to speak up on this. We have to speak out on this, you know, because we are the people who really have the power to make changes. This is why some of these changes are being made, because of people before me. I mean, we have had people marching way before me, and I'm only 53 years old, okay? But we got people been marching way, way before our ancestors, and we're still marching today, and we're going to continue to march. This march is just not going to stop today. You know, it's what you put in it, why you put in it to make the change. And if you can save one, you have saved a million.
Mm-hmm.
So you just can't put a number on how many you would expect. If I get one or two, I save 2 million, 3 million. Because if I can get one or two, three, 10, 100, or 10,000 and show them the way, then our future look a whole lot better. Because, see, a lot of things that we say, you know, everybody's not going to do. They
Look at our neighborhood. Let's go to the ghetto area, and let's look at our youth. You have children raising children in this generation and time. And you have some out there in the street say, well, baby, I'm in here, but mama don't want you or daddy don't want you to do what I'm doing. So you do as I say and not what I do.
Exactly.
What do? We actually do what we see what our parents do. So if we can save 1 or 2, 3, 10, 5,000 or a million of them coming out and show them the right way and teach them the right way and give them the tools to work with, we are making a difference.
I agree. Yeah. I agree with you, sister. I'm going to say one thing. What you're right, but there's no role models out there for these youngsters. There's no role models for these young kids. You know, the fathers are either in prison or the fathers don't care. 90% of the young men and older ones that are now old are in prison because they didn't have the role models. And like you say, we need to show them that someone does care. But at the same time, they want to see proof now because they've been through hell and back. A lot of these prisoners, they've been through hell and back, and there's no one out there. A lot of people claim to be out there for them, but they can't trust lawyers anymore. They can't trust judges, period. Judges are so corrupt themselves now. They will take bribes and everything else like they did in Pennsylvania not too long ago with those juveniles, giving them life without before they got found out about. So these young people, they don't have no role models. And we need to show them, and it, like it says in the Bible, not just with words, but with actions. And what you're doing is good, but when they come out, they're not going to trust you, me, or anybody else because of everything they went through.
I have a friend three doors down from me
whose son went in as a teenager. He's coming home as soon as we can find a place for him, but he can't come home until she finds a place for him. No one wants him. Her sister agreed to take him and at the last minute changed her mind. So right now she's back to square one. When people go into prison, all of a sudden the family scatters too. Just like they did with Jesus, that's the way they do it with families, friends, everybody. They scatter. Again, I'll tell you because I know I've been there and back. So and preaching, I can do preaching, believe me, because when I went through this trauma in 1993, I traveled 11 third world countries and that's all I did. I stayed in the Bible. I learned the Bible inside and out. I met pastors and priests and ministers and everything else. So preaching is good, but they want to see action. They want to see what the Bible really is about. And just like Jesus, he came to this earth. He preached the good news. He preached everything, but he also did a lot of healing. And only Jesus was innocent. And even then, people wanted him dead, the very people that he healed, and they wanted him dead.
Well,
so we need to show these... We need to show these young people and older people, if we're going to at least try to save them, as everyone wants to do, we need to show them that we can also be there for them in other ways. Now, when you get, I don't know how you get your clients, your men and women. I don't know if you have applications they fill out. I don't know how it goes. Really, it doesn't matter because prisoners, if you're doing something that is good, it'll get around. Prisoners talk about it, and it gets around to everybody eventually. But the thing is, when it comes to research, people don't even know how to research. Out there, if somebody is coming out and they need some halfway houses or transitional housing, and I've mentioned this to a few people, you sit down at the computer instead of writing it on a piece of paper. You write it in the browser of the Internet. Exactly what you're looking for. If they need transitional housing, you type in transitional housing for so-and-so in the state of Massachusetts or in the state of Georgia. This is how you get the resources for them. Again, we get a lot of people that want to work with us for their own motives. And this is what we have to watch out for because this is one of the reasons why New Vision Organization wasn't working. Everybody wanted to join because they thought there was something in it for them. When they found out there wasn't, they were dropping out like flies. So we need to be very cautious because I, like the prisoners, I have to see it. I'm really, really having to see it. I've dealt with thousands of prisoners in the last 18 years, thousands of them, and a lot of them committed suicide. Some of them were killed because No one was there for them. I spent months and months and months trying to get help from the reps in Pennsylvania, from the advocates in Pennsylvania. And each time somebody died, I was going even harder and faster to try to get help for them. All these people dying, and then everybody wants to come in and collect the money. Lawyers want to get involved. These are the things that happen. So when people talk about what they want to do for these prisoners, I'm like you said, sister, a family member, like I told my neighbor, her son's coming out. He's not going to know her. He's not going to know the family that turned on him when he needed them. He's not going to know any of them. The trust is gone.
Let me interact on that, you know, and that's what, whether you're in a prison or whether you do something, period. If you have done something to violate anyone, you have to earn that back, okay?
Yeah.
That something has to be earned, and it goes on both sides of the coin. You know, and that is something that we do address, you know, about trustworthy. You know, and it takes to build a bridge. You know, it takes somebody on one side and another side to actually lay those bricks so they can connect, okay? So when you have youth coming out or someone coming out of the prison system and you know they have a trustworthy issue, then it's going to take patience. And see, this is where people are lacking today, patience, okay? You're going to have patience. And I'm going to give you a prime example. I was a foster mother. I raised over 25 children. And I was laughed, ridiculed, and everything when they told me, you are a fool for taking in teenagers because you can't do nothing with them. They are already wild. Well, I didn't believe that. I didn't believe that because someone told me. I let them call me fools. I let them do everything in the world to me. But I took three boys in. Knew them through the neighborhood. I knew some of their background. Got to know them. Do you think it changed overnight? No, it didn't. They smoked. They drank. They did everything up under the man in the moon. But for me to go in there and tell them immediately, you can't do this and you're not going to do that, that didn't work. And that wasn't going to work. And I knew it wasn't going to work. Because if someone comes to me like that, I'm going to lock up, chill out, and move out. But I had to learn how to be patient. I had to learn how to earn that trust. And then after I earned that trust, in my earning, I was also showing them. And because of those three, I ended up with 25 more children, and those three stuck in there with me with them 25 other children I brought in. And the very thing that I taught them, they taught those other 25 coming in the door. So, yeah, there are role models out there. And there's a lot of us that, you know, and it's sad to say, they don't even want to take up the plate and be the role model, but they'd be the first one to holler and scream what is happening to our youth. And Hosea 4:6 said there's going to be a whole nation of them lost because of lack of education. Then we got to ask, why are they lost? Because we, as the example, are not teaching them. So the buck don't stop on just them. Starts with us if we don't take the time out and be patient and learn how to deal with the issues that we have at the table. Don't be so off the hand to say what ain't going to work and what's not going to work if you don't even put the time in and wash hands in it.
You have, you know, they need more. They needed more like you. And I did social work for Family and Children's Services in Massachusetts, and I'll tell you, you are exceptional because a lot of the foster homes they put them in, the reason for lawsuits is because they put them in foster homes worse than their own homes, and that's what the system is all about too, is taking these kids. And when I say role models, I want you to understand one thing. I don't mean role models with you, with women. I mean role models with the fathers that are not in the picture. But the thing is, with you, you took in the kids and you hit it right on the nose. You have to win their trust because they've been deceived so many times, and people are always blaming these youth for the failure of the youth when they don't realize it's not the failure. If they were there, if the parents were there, and me being a single parent, just like a lot of others, Me being a single parent, it's even more difficult because you're working, you can't be there all the time. My loved one, he was molested as a child by an in-law. And these are the things that happen. While all that was going on, I was trying to get over my failed marriage through drinking. So we go through a lot, and we don't realize how much our kids are being hurt by our own actions. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of these kids end up in prison, because their loved ones are not there, but especially the fathers who are out there trying to get in the mother's skirts. But when it comes to actually doing something for their kid, they don't want to have nothing to do with it. So,
let's just speak on that just for a minute. We know that was designed for that. You know, if anyone that understands how the slave trade went through the Willie Lynch, that was the first thing they did was separate the man from the female. Okay, so that was designed for that. Knowing that we know that today, and knowing that this is still some of the protocols of things that are happening today because of that, then this is how I solve it. And I can only give you a solution to what I did, okay? And maybe whoever's on this line and hear it can take something and use what I did to help. Here I was, a single woman, and let's get clear, I have no biological children of my own. This was in the passion of me, because regardless of whether I have children or not, I'm still a mother.
That's right.
And regardless of whether you make a child or not, you still a father.
That's right.
So let's talk about the village. Let's talk about it takes a village to raise a child. Because if we really understood about in that village, even if we had a mother there that did have a child and the parent was there, for some odd reason, let's just say the father died. We're not going to even go to that he was incarcerated. Let's just say he died. Okay, he's not in that child's life. What happened? It took other men in the village to step in and take into the place of that biological father. And this is what we do today. If you see a single mother out there and she has three or four children for whatever reason why the father is not there, it's still no excuse, because we still have other men in our community that can step into place and do that. And you better believe, those 25 children I had in my home, I made sure that was positive male roles, people in their life. I made sure there was someone coming in their life as a male, showing them, because see, I'm female. I can do it both, because that's in me. But they will look more to that male, because they need the nurture. But it's little things like that you can do to help. Okay, we already know that the nuclear system of our family has been disrupted from the time we left on the first slave ship, a good ship of Jesus that brought us over here, the very first one, that good ship of Jesus brought us over here, splitting our family. Okay? Now, we know all of that. That's the past. What are we going to do today? How we move forward today? And I just gave you examples of how to do. And I hope whoever's on this line, if you ever think about it, take some of the things out of my page in my life and apply it and watch how the ripple of a drop of just a drop in the ocean, watch how it ripples and make a change. This is where
I'd like to say one thing. Speaking to the people in the audience, I don't know who's in with us. I don't know how many. But one of the things I have to say, we talk about slavery all the time. One of the things that the white man fails to see or remember or know about is the fact that had it not been for our ancestors, they wouldn't be alive to be torturing us. They wouldn't be alive to be torturing our kids, because they have to remember who raised them. Their parents didn't raise them. Their ancestors didn't raise them. They put it on the slaves and the babies at that time. They sucked on that slave's breast. So when they talk about the racism in this country, these people should be kissing the feet of the people that raised them, the people that kept them alive when their own parents couldn't do it. Their own mothers and fathers were too busy in their plantations enjoying themselves while they put the kids on someone else. So this is another thing that I'd like to get across, just for those people that may have forgotten how they survived those years. And they talk about making business out of prisons. Prisons have become a business. Prisons have, and it's from these.
I want to iterate. It ain't has. the prison, it is a big business. And
yes,
that
is
my ask, too. It is a big business.
That is exactly.
Yes.
And, but you know what? I hear there's a lot of people that have invested in the prisons. And as Mary mentioned, we just found out Bill Gates, too. And that surprised me because Bill Gates supposed to be doing
why I'm going to ask you this question, Queen. Why would you be surprised, Bill Gates? I mean, come on. And since you just said Bill Gates, nothing surprised me about Bill Gates, especially after Katrina. Nothing surprised me about Bill Gates.
Mm-mm. What happened after Katrina?
Okay. I mean, yeah. I mean, if you understand, if you really go into the history of what's going on with our people, period.
Yeah.
And it's just not Bill Gates or a different one. They're using our own people against us.
Thank you.
They're taking our own people and using against us. Look at our entertainment systems. You know, you have all these big rappers and stuff going into this, and they buy into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's just not just really, to really get to it, it ain't really about the color game, but it is. They play the color game card. It's about the mindset.
Thank you.
That's true.
It's about that mindset behind that. Now, using black on black and white, that's just a part of the game. But the core of it is the mindset. I don't care how much a cat is a cat. I don't care if you put a dress on that cat, it's still a cat.
You're right.
So, you know, I'm just keeping it real coming across the board.
No,
so we don't get all twisted up.
Going back to Pennsylvania, that's what happened. It was black on white. That's the white man marries a black woman, and that way the woman, being in the corrections, the penal system, she's walking by all her people that are being brutally beaten and brutally kept in the hole and brutally everything else, and she's looking at them and laughing because she's married to a white man. Yeah, they use one another. They use one another to get what they want from the black man and the black woman.
Well, can I break in? I just want to say to you, Ms. Brando, that we have five callers on the board, including yourself. And I wanted to offer the other individuals a chance to speak on these matters. You have 40 more minutes. Could I open the boards to new speakers?
Okay.
All right. We're going to start with the... I think I've had all your phones open for a while. So, 5506. 5506. All right. Going on. 3066.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Ms. Holly Austin? This is Holly Austin, everyone. She's the mother of Terrell Scott. He's a young man who is imprisoned in Pennsylvania. He was imprisoned for 4.5 years without a trial. That's what they're doing to our people. He was kept 4.5 years with trial denied. We also told you on an earlier broadcast about two black men in Mississippi, one of whom was kept 7 years without a trial, and one of whom was kept 8 years without a trial. I don't know if they've had a trial yet. If they don't have a good case against black men, they put them in prison and throw away the key. The Sixth Amendment has no effect on crooked attorneys, crooked prosecutors, crooked judges, crooked courts. So now... this young man, Terrell Scott, realized that they never planned to give him a trial. And so, therefore, he went ahead after 4.5 years of waiting, and he signed a plea deal with them because they weren't going to give him a trial. When he signed the plea deal, they had to let him out of jail because they had agreed to it as their escape from having a trial. But guess what? They went and arrested him again within a couple of months. No new charges. They arrested him and say they arrested him because he's mentally ill. This, as far as I know, may be the first American who was ever incarcerated Because, and they say the reason is because he's mentally. Now, here's the interesting point. Do you know where they arrested him from? They arrested him from the mental hospital. Why are you going to go get a person from a mental hospital where they're being treated and arrest them for being mentally ill? The real charge I feel that Pennsylvania has against Terrell Scott is that he had lived with a white woman. I believe that.
I would like to answer that question.
Wait a minute. Let me just let her speak, please. This is his mother. She wants to tell you that they've got a trial coming up for Terrell Scott tomorrow morning to sentence him for being mentally ill. If they do that, we got an answer. We got an answer. Let them do it. Go ahead, please, Scott.
Yeah, hi, everybody. Basically, Judge Zito, who has sat, now it has been 5 years, he has sat on this case. All of a sudden, all of Terrell's proof to show his mental illness, to show that he's been in two state hospitals out here in Pennsylvania because of his mental illness. The second one was because he tried to commit suicide and he was on life support. All that information has disappeared.
I know.
Now, Judge Zito tomorrow told the public defender, he told him last month, if by August 5th, if he did not find a placement for Terrell with all of his charges and everything they want him to comply to, that he automatically is going to be sent to a state prison. They're trying to say that these overt acts of him having mental illness and him trying to commit suicide is not a place for him. They cannot handle him in a, regular county prison. They're saying that a state prison will be suitable for my son, and they feel that he is not safe for society. So basically tomorrow, and I have exhausted everything. My father has gone through two attorneys. I scanned over two letters that are being sent to Judge Zito that I have filed and docketed, also to the probation officer. The whole thing is they want Terrell to be sent away. They're done with him.
I don't care if this shit sit all day. Please do not eat my baby's fucking food.
I'm having a hard time. There's an echo. I'm having a hard time hearing everybody.
We can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. So basically, that's what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm hoping that Mary will be able to open the file so you can see what has been written. They never had a pre-sentence report. By law, you're supposed to have a pre-sentence report. If this is your first offense, that you are not supposed to go to state prison. But basically, they're tired of Terrell. They know that he is extremely suicidal. They know, and since he's been back in prison, they've added 41 charges, not 40, but 41 charges. They're trying to say that my son has violations in Allegheny County, which is near Pittsburgh, which he has never been, Luzerne County, Northampton County, and now Lehigh County. They have never bothered to chosen asking what are these charges. They refuse to tell him. They have never given him any form of proper paperwork when they rearrested him. But in my opinion, they want him to even look more worse than they've already painted him out to make sure the parole board will take him because he has sat in prison for 4.5 years, but now it's been 5 years because July 1st, of this year, because he was first arrested July 1st, 2009. And Terrell pretty much is done. He's tired of having this stigma that has surrounded him now. He's done with his depression, his mental illness, his schizophrenia, and he is done with being locked up.
Ms. Scott,
suicidal.
I had given you, I believe we spoke before, and I asked you to contact Bill Grigsby.
Yes, I did contact him.
I'd like to know,
what
did he say?
He said he has to talk to his lawyer. They have, like, some lawyers. I gave him all the information that I gave you. There was paperwork that he gave me that I sent to Terrell. I have no idea if Terrell has has received him. I don't have money to put on the phone to,
well, the reason
to
I
ask Terrell.
The reason I ask is, first of all, Bill, he said he has connections. He knows a lot of people in Pennsylvania. This is why I was wondering if you had contacted him, what he had to say. You say you weren't able to talk to your son, so I can't really say that Bill was at fault, because if he says he's going to...
No, I'm not saying that at all.
No, I would like to have known myself, because I want to find out. Bill is now... He's now the president of New Vision Organization. I don't know where he's heading with all of this, but I'd like to know if he's following up with what he claims to have, you know, that he was going to be able to do. So if there's some, I mean, maybe it's too late now, because your son needs to be in court tomorrow, and this is probably what's going to happen, is exactly what you just said. But I was trying to find out if you did do anything with the resource I did give you, and I would have liked to have found out how it was handled.
There's been a lot. I did talk to him at great length. He forwarded me some paperwork, which I did send out to Terrell for him to fill out. It was probably about 4 or 5 pages that he was supposed to fill out. The issue, I have, like, so much going on between Terrell. I was just in court on last Monday because they're trying to take my other son. They took full guardianship of my other child. They're saying that the other court system is going to be watching what happens to Terrell, because they're saying if they let Terrell go, the state is taking my child. And then on top of that, my father has lung cancer, so I'm trying to do everything I can, and I apologize I didn't get back to you.
No, you don't have to apologize to me. It's your son. And I know that they may be threatening to take your other children if nothing comes of your son. I mean, if he ends up going away. That's why I think that's a priority, that you want to make sure that gets taken care of so you don't lose the other kid. But like I say, you know, for me, I wanted to see what was going to happen when I referred you to Bill, and he's in Pennsylvania, so that would have been your best bet if you wanted to get it done right away to see what happened. I don't know what to tell you now, but I do know that sometimes in cases like this we do have to prioritize, and I know you're going through a lot, and I sympathize with you. I really do.
Yeah, no, I did talk, and the last thing he said that he had to talk to, I guess, the attorney about what's going on, and like I said, it's been just so chaotic, extremely chaotic. Are you still there? It's hard to hear.
Yeah.
Okay. My 11-year-old, he's developed now a tic. He's extremely scared to go outside. It's been hell. It's just, and the reason, and they didn't even tell me that they took full guardianship. They're saying is if they let Terrell out, that's when they're going to take my child. So I have no idea if one county has precedence over another county, if they're even allowed to do what they're doing.
Well, they shouldn't be, but apparently they are, if this is what's happening.
And they're saying that I'm in denial of the dangerous, how that my oldest is extremely dangerous against my youngest.
I wonder,
and
these were allegations. I wonder who gives them the authority. I wonder who gives them the authority to determine whether your son is mentally stable or not. You know, this is why I have a problem with the American Psychological Association, because these people are getting all kinds of funds, and it really upsets me to the fact that they don't do anything with the monies they're getting. So we got a government and all of its providers in the communities who know nothing or do nothing but get money. And here people, the ones that are giving all these predictions and all these diagnoses, they're people in the penal system. Who gives them the right to make all these decisions that your son or anybody else's son has psychological issues when they're not qualified to do it?
Mm-hmm.
This is where we all really need to put up a fight. We really need to go after the American Psychological Association, the American Medical Association. We need to go after the, even with NAMI. NAMI may be run by family members, but NAMI is getting funding too. And if anybody
NAMI
says,
doesn't, not, I apologize for interrupting. NAMI is really about 4 blocks from my house. I have gone there in tears asking them to help my son. I've gone to SAMHSA. I've gone to Bethlehem to have the for mental health. I've gone to every agency that deals with mental health. Nobody has helped my child. Nobody.
This is why I'm saying this is where we need to network, is to get out there and start going after these people that are getting funding. And we need to challenge the system with this diagnosis that everybody's you know what, it makes me sick to hear all these people when they talk on television, expert witnesses. Who in the heck are these expert witnesses? Who gives them the cry? You know what, we live it. You know, anybody that's experienced it, those are the expert witnesses. And it's making me sick to hear about all these expert witnesses that are out there telling you and everybody else's kids what they're all about when their own families are so screwed up. Their own families are screwed up. And they're covering up for their own families because of their connections. They get away with everything. And yet they're going to be expert witnesses about someone else's family. These people are a joke. This government is a joke. We need to challenge these people. And if people want to network, people can do we can preach the word of God, and we can also show the deeds and show people that this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. Because if we don't, prisoners are not going to trust us any more than they're trusting the others that are doing absolutely nothing. What I just mentioned about Pennsylvania is true. Well, the reason I had you contact Bill was because he's from Pennsylvania, and I wanted to see exactly what he was willing to do. Because if he's willing to do anything, it shows that there's some kind of common sense in Pennsylvania. If he's not, then that goes to show you it's all a big.
No, he seemed that he wanted to be very helpful. He just said this was paperwork that my son had to sign before he could talk to Terrell. But we did talk, and he said Pennsylvania is like the worst state. He gave me an example of what happened to him. He said it's the worst state to get arrested, the worst state.
It's not only the worst state to get arrested in. Pennsylvania is the worst state to even get help in, from whether it be the white man or the black man. It's the worst state because I tried every which way. I was given the names of the caucus in Pennsylvania by someone in the caucus. And Pennsylvania, the people that they referred me to, they were about nothing. But they're all connected. They're all connected.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. Actually, I'm over at my dad's right now, and I have to tend to him. But I will give your friend a call again. I did contact right away. Like, we spoke like 3 times that day. But I just wanted to everybody to have an update. I'm hoping Mary might be able to open up that paperwork so you can actually see what they're going to do to Terrell tomorrow. And I really appreciate, you know, me being on the show and to let the listening audience know what's going on.
Okay. Ms. Scott, I just want you to know it's not my friend. He's not my friend. I want to see what he's going to do, though. I really do. So if your son at all, if he got the paperwork back, I'd like to know what this man does for your son.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. It could be a possibility that he never got the paperwork.
I don't know. We have
Northampton County prison.
No, we have. Unless he didn't send it, we have people that do take care of the mail, and she's been sending it. She's been scanning and sending it. So.
Okay. All right, but I hate to go, but I really have to. But I appreciate, you know, you having me on your show and talking again with me, allowing me to let people, you know, to update what's going on with Jerome.
And please let Mary know from time to time what's going on, so we can do it again and have you give us an update.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, now we're back to the sisters here. We're getting off track today, but that's okay. So Sister Yahweh and Sister Ebina?
Oh, you talking about Abia and My Shalom?
Avia. I'm sorry. That's a hard name to... You know, I was going to say Avia. Is that... what does that mean?
God is my father.
Oh, okay, because when I was in Ghana, they go by days of the days that they were born, like
mm-hmm.
Kofi on a Friday,
mm-hmm.
Kwame on a Saturday, Crazy on a Sunday, and I love it, but it almost seemed like that's where your name, you know, somewhere in there your name was coming from. But anyway, can you go on and tell us more about what you want to see happen?
Well, you know, one thing that I want to say is our organization, for it being in its infancy, has been very successful. Now, we don't try to cover all of the gamut. What you have discussed today have taken a lot of twists and turns.
Yeah, really.
And so, you know, what I want to say is, you know, other advocate groups, they may focus on a particular agenda. And, you know, we focus on a particular agenda. And we have been very successful in our endeavors to reach out and touch the mind of those. You see, you make a lot of great points. However, at the end of the day, it really requires being able to reach those individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you stated on several occasions about you can preach this and you can preach that, but that is the word of God. If you can't give them that,
they have
nothing.
You're right. And don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong in that way. I don't mean, like, maybe I might have said it the way wrong because I have a habit of doing that with people. They get upset. But what I'm trying to say is a lot of people feel like, and what you're talking about, your foundation doing is a lot more than that. It really is, and I give you credit for that. But what I'm saying is a lot of people, they preach the word, but without doing anything, they're letting these people... They're letting these prisoners down because they're not showing them. They're not doing the deeds. In your case, you got the pen pill. You know, you got the you know, the vision of helping them when they get out. So these things here, you're doing it right. And when I say, I'm not talking about you, your organization, but this is what I'm talking about, the way prisoners feel when all these people talk about the Bible. And my thing is, you know, showing. Not just talking, because this is what a lot of foundations do. But
well,
I'm very impressed with what you do, because I think, like you said, I think your goal and what the work you're doing is going to be successful.
You know, like I said, we have found success. I mean, you know, the most important thing is that the Bible was taken out of the school. Prayer was taken out of the schools. The Ten Commandments were taken. The foundation of the Creator was taken out. And then we wonder why so many of our children are lost. That lost generation, we wonder why. It was systematically designed. So what do we have to do? We got to get back to the basic of understanding that of what we're doing, and that's why we're finding success. That's why we're being blessed. That's why our labor of love is netting results at this point in time, you know. And I would go on the record and say that I'm sure you have encountered many ministries, many prison ministries, many people who say this and say that or say that, but I am absolutely sure that you haven't encountered one like Yahweh's Holy Angels for Freedom Prison. Man, I'm absolutely sure that. I could state that on the record, because the whole thing of it is that many prison ministries, see, they deal in religion. See, we don't deal in religion. We deal in the consciousness of the Creator.
Thank you.
That's what you need to get to, is the consciousness of the Creator. It's not about, it's not a white thing, a black thing, because at the end of the day, we all are spirits. Because they say God is a spirit, and those who worship him in spirit. And in truth. So if we're bringing to the minds of those who are unconscious, they're unconscious at this point. They're in the valley of the dry bones. They are walking around dead because they're not awakened to this reality, to the self-realization that the kingdom of heaven resides within them. When they understand that the kingdom of heaven resides within them, then they'll see the light. And so that's why we've had tremendous success. That's why we've had tremendous support, because we're not like your regular ministry. So, you know, it's been a joy and a rejoicing to my heart to just sit and dialogue and introduce Yahweh's Holy Angels for Freedom. You know, we all have and come from a background, you know. We all come from different life experiences. But at the end of the day, you know, we're going to help as many who will receive. See, that's what happened. See, he says, as many as receive
That's it.
As many as receive this help, that's who gets the help. See, if you close yourself off and you know, we're working diligently to assist you in your plight, but you close off, then you're not receiving this truth. So
shake off the dust.
We're excited. We're happy. We're joyful, and we're just blessed to be given a task to reach out and touch the minds of those who walk in darkness and let them know that the great light is here. So we're excited. We're excited. We thank you, Leona, Brando, for just reaching out to us and, you know, getting to know us more, allowing us to express what our organization is doing. We don't talk about it. We be about it. Okay.
Amen.
And so, you know, I want to thank Miss Mary Neal. She is a fireball. She's energy. For all the many, you know, philanthropic works, like helping this young lady with her son and letting the world know that you can't stop good. See, you can't stop what's good. And if you're standing on the side of good, you're going to be all right. But if you're standing on that other side, you're going to get mowed down, because that's what time it is. So we're excited again. I want to thank you for inviting us. And, you know, I would like for my executive assistant to come in and just close us out by talking about our membership drive that we have right now. We're working with a special membership drive. Wonderful, beautiful, Yahweh. Can you come on in and express?
I want to thank you, sister. I want to say something. I'm a tester. I'm a tester. And what I was really doing is I was testing to see just how sincere you were. And I want to tell you something. I really, really love what you said. And I really know for a fact that you're for real. And I want to thank you for being on the show. And we want to try to help in any way we can.
Okay.
You did an awesome job. You did an awesome.
Holy unification. Absolutely, absolutely. Mashalom, are you there, Queen?
Yes, I'm here. Is my line still open?
Yes, you're open.
Thank you. We have a membership drive through our organization, and we're looking for angels. If you have a passion in those who cannot help themselves, especially those like the young lady that just came on the line that is going through a circumstance and needs support, we have a membership drive going on, and it only costs $1 to join. Yes, $1. And we're asking people to come in and join and be an angel. You know, you may be able to write a letter and uplift someone. You may be able to be in an area where somebody needs help, but there's no more to be in the presence and hold their hands and help them get through what they're going through. This is part of our membership drive. You know, and we're asking people to come in if you have a passion to do the word of what our Father asked us to do, to help one another and to uplift one another. We're asking you to come and join us. You can contact us at, where's my number again? I got so many numbers I'll be trying to remember. You can contact us at 1-855-FREEDOM, and that number is 1-855-373-3306. We have a beautiful director that's over there, and her name is Alama, Queen Alama. If you contact that number, she will respond with you. So we're just asking everyone, you know, if you'd like to be a volunteer in your time and you got the effort, the energy, the enthusiasm to do this, become a member today. Again, like I said, it's just for $1. And before I end out, I would like to say two things if I could. Because I would, for the young lady left out, and I pray that she is listening, and just to answer the question because it's still on my mind, why are these things happening, especially in the mental health area?
I can answer that. She's left the phone.
Okay.
The mentally ill are America's greatest number of prisoners, 1.25 million. Of the people incarcerated right now are mentally ill people.
Yeah, and I'm getting ready to answer why they're there. I'm getting to tell you why they're there.
Well, I know they're there for money. 60% of the people in solitary confinement are mentally ill. The mentally ill were removed from mental hospitals and the hospitals closed in order for Ronald Reagan and his friends
that's right.
to start.
But that, it was designed for that, Queen. That's what I'm, my point I'm getting made to. It was designed for that, you know.
Yes.
And I'm going to keep emphasizing this until we all understand this. Then you'll know how to move forward because we're always asking, why is it happening? Why are these things happening? It's simple. It was designed for this. When they went business, big business in the prison and privatizing, they hit all angles. And the mental hospital was the first in the 80s when they shut them down. Matter of fact, I could take you back before the 80s when they stopped rehabbing, when they stopped the rehabilitation. This was where it started. It's all a part of their new world order.
Mm-hmm.
But they got like that because we are ignorant to the laws. See, I was told the best kept secrets in a book. Why? Because niggas won't read. If you don't get up and educate yourself, you don't get up and understand the laws that you're up under, they're going to always win over you. This is why we're here this day to educate. And when I use the word nigga, don't take it wrong. Don't take it wrong. It is what it is. And now let me go and rephrase it again so for those who be offended to understand, if you don't read, these things will happen to you. If you don't educate and do not know,
these things will happen to you. Then you will become the product of Hosea 4:6 because of lack of education. If you do not teach yourself to learn, and this is what we're here to do. This is why we bring back. This is why we are lost, because we didn't want to adhere to what we were told from the very beginning. We broke the very first law with the Creator. Then we wonder why we're going through what we're going through. You must adhere to the Word. If not, you're going to always have these plagues, trials, and tribulations. You know, I just wanted to iterate that, because that is something that has to be iterated, because we have gotten so far in. When I say we, I'm talking about as a people as a whole on this planet, because of the type of deceiving and disrupting, because Lucifer was a cunning and a very smooth angel. He didn't lie. He said what he was going to do. He said he was going to bring destruction. He said he was going to be deceitful. He said he was going to be all the opposite of good and love. And that's what he's done. And when a snake bites you, the only way you can cure a snake is through his own venom. And the only way I know the venom to cure for him, because he was a love angel at once, is to bring the love back. I just want to thank you for what allowed us for coming back on your show. Miss Mary, thank you. I love your fireball, because I got a fireball rolling right with you. Miss Lino, thank you. I love you, Yahweh. This is your captain.
Sister Yahweh, before you sisters leave, can you want to just say a prayer for this whole world? Just say a quick prayer for us all.
Elder Bill?
It would actually be my pleasure to
thank you.
Say a prayer for all of us as we face the Eastern Hemisphere in our minds and hold hands and say, oh, Yahweh, God of our salvation, save us and gather us together and deliver us from this wicked heathen so that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the holy name of Yahweh, Yahweh, and Yahweh forever. Thank you for inviting us. We appreciate your time. We appreciate just having this holy opportunity. We look forward to holding hands with you, Leona, and the many endeavors that you have. You have our number. I want to also let everyone know in the listening audience that you can find us on Facebook at the Angels of Freedom Prison Ministry Community. Become our friend, like our page. Stay updated on the many works that we're doing. We have so many things that's going on. I definitely want to get in contact with Miss Mary Neal. She's here in Atlanta as I am. And we're bringing some exonerees to the Atlanta area. I mean, it's all about networking and coming together and making a change. So thank you so much again. We appreciate you. And I just want to say, may Yahweh continue to bless you and all that you do. And look forward to hearing from you soon, okay?
Thank you, and thank you for the beautiful closing. We appreciate having you girls on, and we hope that someday soon, once you get situated further with your progress, if you would come back on and give us an update.
Oh, it would be our pleasure.
I think what you're doing is awesome. I really do, and I think that we need more of that Christianity, that spiritualism in this world today, because, like you say, there's not enough of it, and we need to bring the passion back.
Yes, absolutely. Just remember.
I wanted to say that we also have a show that you are welcome to come and visit and be a part of, too. We host our show every Sunday from 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and it is called the Yahweh's Holy Angels for Freedom Prison Ministry Town Hall Meeting. You can contact us through 857-232-0476, and the code to get in is 333-937. We're there every Sunday, and you are welcome to come and join us.
Okay, Sister Neil, Mary, will you be, this will be on the air anyway, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll be able to get the information again, and everyone else will be able to.
I'll send you. I inbox you one.
Okay, that'll be good. Again, I want to thank you, girls. You beautiful sisters, you made a lot of sense in what you said. I'm really privileged and honored to have you on with us, and I hope, again, and I'll be listening, and I'll be on your show, listening to your show. But I want to thank you once again for being on with us. God bless. And
yes.
Take care, everyone.
All right. We'll
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
bye-bye.
You, Donna. All right. Bye now.